Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
The guards are investigating this very serious assault on a woman in County Tipperary over the weekend. Scarlett Faulkner remains in a critical condition at Cork University Hospital. She'd sustained severe head injuries during an attack, which the guards say they're asking members of the public not to share on social media platforms, and not to share the video on messaging apps either, but instead to provide that footage to the investigating Gardaí. Speaking on Breakfast a little earlier this morning, journalist David Raleigh explained what happened.
At about 5:30 last Saturday afternoon, a young mother who was named locally since as Scarlett Faulkner was savagely attacked by the side of the R494 road, which is located between the village of Bird Hill in County Tipperary and the M7 motorway. She suffered what sources have said are catastrophic head injuries in this roadside attack. I understand Ms. Faulkner, who is a member of the travelling community in Limerick City, had been travelling in a vehicle which was intercepted by another vehicle, and she was then attacked on the roadside by one or more persons. Gardaí are still trying to ascertain how many people were involved in this attack, but it appears to have been a number of people. Videos have been shared across social media appearing to show the attack in progress, which shows a female striking a person who is lying on the side of the road with some sort of weapon. A male is shown carrying what appears to be a hatchet at the scene. It's quite a chaotic scene. It appears to have been filmed by people passing in vehicles. The emergency services were then alerted. Ms. Faulkner, who is in her 20s, she was treated at the roadside by HSE paramedics.
And that's David Raleigh talking to Anton a little earlier this morning. And as a result of that, then the guards obviously issued that warning yesterday, asking motorists and asking members of the public in general not to distribute the footage online. It's not the first time, though, that they've issued that warning to the public. We've talked about this many, many times on the programme, not in relation to the incident in County Tipperary over the weekend, but more generally, we've discussed this many, many times about the distribution of, in some cases, fatal incidents, in other times, serious assaults, those moments and last moments being shared on social media. And it begs the question, should we make it a crime to distribute footage like this of any assault online or on social media? Barrister and Senior Counsel Ronan Lupton is with me here on the programme today. Ronan, should we make this a crime to distribute footage like this?
Well, it's very difficult, Andrea, to do that. I'll tell you why, because the distribution of the footage is done on platforms, social media platforms, which ultimately are open for people to put content on without, you know, any particular policing. So it's up to the individual to really, I guess, pay attention to what they're putting up. And unfortunately, the dopamine hit or the excitement which comes from circulating footage, and I'm not speaking specifically about this incident yesterday.
No, I know.
The morbid curiosity, or there's a word called epicarcassy, which is effectively the rare enjoyment of others' misfortune, seems to be a feature of online engagement these days. And as you recall, I think you discussed the issue of grok and nudification. It's something similar. It's the same buzz that people get from, you know, doing things online, which fundamentally they know deep down or even overtly is wrong. That's the issue. And can you criminalise it? You could, but the problem here is that the European law that exists, the Digital Services Act, prevents platforms effectively from being held up as publishers until such time as they're made aware of the content that's put out there. Now, you could automatically look at something and say that that's criminal activity, shouldn't be published, and that's all fine. But the amount and volume of content that goes up online and the speed at which it travels or goes viral or circulates is incredible. And I think ultimately the platforms have a job, which is to spot patterns, dark patterns, I think they're called, and to stop the content from flowing and put markers in to effectively police it. But criminalising it is a very tricky request of the state. I think that's the issue, you know.
But how do we have then legislation and criminal legislation around the possession and distribution of pornography, of child pornography?
Yeah, in that context, what you have is a position where somebody has made the choice to do something in relation to the accessing of illicit content. And that content effectively has a number of victims, you know, the victims that are on it and so forth. And the possession or accessing it of it is enough. but in the context of you know, something that's live and taken in the public place, which may be lawful in terms of the activity of recording it, and it is awful content, it falls between that sort of stool of illegality versus immorality and what's lawful but awful but not illegal. And that's a huge challenge in the current environment. So you're right to draw the comparison. You have upskirting legislation, you have Coco's law in terms of harassment, you have accessing child pornography. There's a number of different laws, I'm not saying that there isn't, which criminalise content. But a person simply circulating something may not have formed the intention to commit a crime. That's the issue. Mm. So in criminal law, you have to have formed the intention usually and also have done the crime. So you have an act and an intention, unless it's a strict liability offence, of course. And that's all very complicated. But I just can't see how it's easily achievable to criminalise that sort of thing. And the other thing is, I think often users don't think about what they're doing on social media. They simply just press repost or retweet because they say, oh my God, look at this. But that's the wrong thing to do. And if you have the Garda Commissioner or the Garda Press Office coming out and saying, please don't recirculate it, we have the content, we need that, all fine, then you shouldn't do it. But by that stage, they've had their dopamine hit. And they've moved on to some other rubbish on the internet to look at.
You know? And looking, to be fair, I suppose, and I know just more specifically we're talking about this today because of the incident in County Tipperary, and not to question the bona fides of those or the motorists that recorded this particular incident, because it could actually, this footage could actually prove, you know, very beneficial in for the Gardaí in investigating, or the investigating Gardaí in this particular case. But I suppose it's, where it's recorded and, you know, more generally not sent to the guards, and then it's sent into the WhatsApp groups and it's posted on X. And I mean, I sort of stumbled, Ronan, myself across this, the video last night, actually on Instagram. And I'm even slow to talk about it today because the last thing I want to do is to drive people to look at the footage. But I mean, even without going looking for it, I was just looking at other videos on Instagram, and obviously whatever algorithm or whatever it is, I mean, at times, you know, you find yourself, you're sort of flicking on or scrolling up to actually move away, you know, to not even look at footage.
Yeah,
like
I understand.
This.
I mean, I'm not, sorry, I don't want to stress your age, but I'm a child of the 70s, and I used to go dancing in nightclubs during the 90s. And I used to be able to dance without somebody wielding a mobile phone in my face, or me, in fact, taking clips of content. But what you see nowadays, when you look at a nightclub or a theatre, is people just holding up phones and taking copies of content for what? Is the question. They no longer enjoy the events that they've paid money to go to. And it's a symptom of what the way society behaves now, with the sort of access to technology. So you see stuff going across the internet. And I saw the video too, Andrea, last night, or the video clip of the incident. I didn't ask for that, but it was sent to me automatically by the platform. And that's a huge issue. So not only do we have a situation where people are simply constantly recording, constantly taking clips, filling up the data centres of content, which is never used again, by the way, but also putting people potentially at risk. We've also had situations over the years of people being misidentified.
Yeah.
Remember that? The taxi boy case from many years ago. What's to say someone doesn't pipe up in the morning and say, oh, isn't that Johnny Brown of whatever address who's involved in that attack, and it's nothing to do with him.
Yeah, Joe Blogs, I know what you mean, exactly, yeah, and the wrong person. And look, and that is absolutely, it's a point worth highlighting as well. Stay with us, Ronan, for a moment. David Hall is on the line. David, of course, is the owner of Lifeline Ambulance. I mean, David, like, you know from talking to your own colleagues about the impact these kind of videos can have on the first responders, often dealing with very difficult scenes.
I think I'd echo what Ronan and yourself have said. I think, you know, it is a sickness within society that prioritises the recording of such instances. And, you know, that's further predicated by descriptions of communities. I don't care where someone is from. This is a horrific crime that was perpetrated upon somebody and recorded. And again, I understand there's a violent scene, so therefore intervention isn't necessarily the easiest. That footage is only one place to be handed over to the Gardaí. I would say, in relation to the platforms, we all got shoved that platform stuff. It's quite remarkable how, if I go looking up a car of some shape or form, I start getting, the algorithm kicks in and starts sending me ads for cars. It is, I don't believe for one minute it's not impossible for the different platforms to be able to remove such content at its whim. And I know the complexities around the legalities, as Ronan had mentioned, but notwithstanding that, they can push stuff when it suits, they can remove stuff when it suits, and I don't accept for one minute that's not a possibility. When the Gardaí have made those warnings, and there's a massive dignity issue for anybody who's involved in an incident, and not just a criminal activity that happened on Saturday, but also car crashes, and then we've got emergency and first responders. And then only this morning, Only this morning was that video with additional footage of the first responders treating that young lady posted with the helicopter landing and taking off again on Instagram after the Gardaí asking for it not to happen. So there's no set of circumstances that that is acceptable. It is a sickness within society that prioritises the indignity of humans, and also from a first responders perspective and the paramedics and the advanced paramedics and indeed the Gardaí and fire services, it is a very difficult environment to be in such circumstances, to be recorded when there are clinical conversations happening around those patients. There's a dignity issue around clothing being removed from patients, and there's just a, seems to be a dispense of normal morality, and the moral compass has completely been shattered and needs to be regained. It is a minority of people, Andrea, it is fair to say, it is a minority of people, but the impact on those people that it has, both first responders and those patients, or those who've been affected by a crime, is horrific, and we need to have a very clear, close look at ourselves.
Yeah, and when you're talking to your own paramedics, David, like, is this nearly now, is it nearly standard when you're at the scene of some sort of incident or tragedy that there's onlookers there in most cases with phones out?
But it's anything. It's the ambulance breaks down, the video footage out. The ambulance went on fire recently. A couple of services had various fires. It's not even down to a violent scene or a car crash or an accident or an incident. It's any abnormality that arises where the first instance is. The first instance in such circumstances, if for a normal human being where everything is functioning normally, is to dial 999 and ensure that the relevant authorities are aware the case is happening. You don't pull your phone out, start recording it without first at least having the decency to check that the emergency services or that assistance and help is on its way. So it happens everywhere, Andrea. It's as simple as we see it online with assaults. Generally speaking, irrespective of frontline staff arriving, we see it even videoing ambulances and fire services at the scene of an incident. We see patients being exposed. We then have irrelevant updates and incorrect updates being given about the patient's set of circumstances, about their nationality. All sorts of rubbish comes from that. But the priority here has to be the dignity of the patient, where a patient is involved, and frontline staff, and giving them the breathing space and the professional space to be able to treat and look after somebody who's been injured in any set of circumstances.
Absolutely.
They cannot have a situation where their priority is trying to duck and dive some overzealous member of the public using their mobile phone completely inappropriately. It's undignified for everybody concerned. And there's no real semblance of understanding the impact that has on a patient and their family looking at that stuff online.
I just think that, God, I often think of that. You know, and I'm sure just, you know, for anybody coming on an incident like they did on Saturday, even just passers-by, like I'm sure, you know, very, you know, I'm sure worrying and frightening for people even in witnessing that. But I can only imagine for any family member to then be sitting on their phone and receive video footage of, you know, any kind of a incident on social media or on WhatsApp. It must be terrible for any family member to receive footage like that. Jason O'Callaghan, who's a psychologist at the D4 clinic, is joining us here on the line as well, David. I mean, when did this shift happen, Jason, that, you know, I suppose for, I'm not talking about Tipperary, but more generally that, you know, a lot of people, I suppose, they opt to take out the phone and record the incident rather than stop and call 999?
Well, thanks for having me on, Andre. This goes back to the, believe it or not, to the 60s. There's a very famous psychology case which we study in college about a lady called Kitty Genovese who was attacked in New York in 64. And there was 38 witnesses who witnessed the attack, but nobody came to help. So it's quite interesting that we see now, 60 years later, people being attacked, as you say, not specifically in this video so much, but in other videos, people have been beaten up, people have been in distress, people drowning. Even more recently, the terrible tragedy in Switzerland with the nightclub, where people were filming the fire rather than having the awareness to leave the scene. So I think what we see through social media more and more is a desensitization of people, sort of a reduced empathy for the victims, lower sort of psychological arousal. They don't see this as sad or upsetting, or as someone else said there about calling the guards. This becomes normal content that people are looking at distressing images and distressing videos and distressing scenes, and they're looking at it through their phone, thinking maybe that their only responsibility is that someone else will help and someone else will call the guards. My role is just to watch and record. And, you know, sadly, in some cases, it's to get likes and get shares and get up their social following. As David said, there's very few people with the right sense of mind would do this, but it seems to be the same cohort of people doing this again and again and again. And we know that watching violent videos on social media will numb people's feelings and their behavior towards fellow other humans. And we see the same with research with video games with young men. So that's been researched as well. So, you know, this is having an effect. I personally have removed myself off the X platform a year or two ago because of this exact reason, that I was looking at the news and suddenly then I started seeing clips and videos of things which are disturbing and bad for my mental health, which I deserve to protect. So I just came off the platform. And I even do that with any platform.
Without you going looking for it, Jason, I mean, often the content is fed to you while you're, you know, you might be looking at a clip of something you wanted to see or sought out, and next thing, the video that you'd no interest in looking at, or maybe you were trying to avoid, appears up on your phone and there's no getting away from it.
And we're old enough, as your other contributor said, born in the 70s, we're old enough maybe to protect ourselves a bit more. But, you know, if it's a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old who's growing up on social media and they're witnessing stuff that you would not wish on your worst enemy. You know, there's videos that come up of, you know, mentioning that in the news at the moment, the war in Iran, and there's videos that I've seen that come up my YouTube feed about people being shot on YouTube in Middle Eastern countries during wars and so on, the Taliban. And that was very disturbing for me. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to watch it. It just came up as I was watching something in the news. And these things have an effect on you. You need to protect your mind. And I'm dealing with this in the D4 clinic every day. Chronic anxiety from people, anxiety about their life, anxiety about not being able to compete, you know, whether it be with their body or their, like in the old days, we used to compete with the Joneses. Mrs. Jones had a new car, now I want a new car. Mm. Now you're competing with everybody around the world. So young people are coming in and older people are coming in. Why don't I have a body like that? Why am I driving a Lamborghini like that? Why? And then on the flip side, because we're so influenced by this, when it's something negative, like you've mentioned, then we end up going down a rabbit hole of negative mental health, anxiety, stress, nightmares, etc., etc. And it just gets worse. So no one, you have to self-police this. As they've mentioned earlier on, the other contributors, the social media giants aren't doing this, and they're not going to do this. And the government seem helpless to do this as well. So I think it's just down to each individual to reset your algorithm. And if you find yourself being upset by this or by anything, is just get off it as soon as you can, or delete the app.
I should say the majority of listeners today getting in touch with us on WhatsApp very much in favour with some kind of legislation being brought in to ban the distribution of any kind of footage like that of a fatal or a serious assault being shared on social media. I know, Ronan, it's probably a question really for the politicians, but I mean, do you envisage that we would ever see a change in this regard?
It's very difficult, Andrea. I mean, the area here is European law. You know, the Digital Services Act is what protects the distribution of information. So the ability of member states in Europe, but in particular Ireland, to legislate in this area is very thin. I think the AG has come out and said that. That was in the context of banning under 16s, for example, off the internet, and a blanket ban like they had in Australia. So what Jason said is very relevant, and indeed what David said. But, you know, self-policing is an issue. But I also believe that they can do more in terms of spotting dark patterns, spotting circulation of data and videos like we're talking about on today's show. But the difficulty is, unless the will is there at a European level to amend and to allow member states to do a little bit more locally, perhaps, and to legislate, that might occur, but I just can't see it without, you know...
But I would have thought even our privacy rights, Ronan. You know, I would have thought as individuals
Well, the difficulty is, if you take the example of the video of the attack, that was in a public place. So you are, you know, potentially interfering with the rights of the individuals that are involved in the issue, but it was public. At the end of the day, a dash cam could have caught that incident. The fact is that it went around, you know. Mm. So it's a difficult proposition to say a privacy right has been engaged properly in a public place. And again, if you look at privacy and data protection, they're two separate and distinct rights, but they are being eroded left, right, and centre by virtue of this activity.
Yeah, but
the other thing is the trust in platforms has been diminished. A number of the platforms, I won't mention any by name, no longer have the same trust and credibility that they had maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So, for example, news and media outlets are becoming more trusted as a result of
the fact that they have journalists doing research properly. Whereas if you go on to the various platforms at the moment where content is simply throttled at you, half of it is AI slop. And the rest of it is just made up. It's disinformation, misinformation, fake news. So it's a very difficult position to try and know what to believe at the moment when you access the internet. But certainly legislation, which is what you asked me about, is a very tricky proposition when you don't have, I guess, impetus coming from the European Union to make the changes. Because we're very much mirroring the US attitude to freedom of expression online and not capturing the platforms as publishers. Even though I think, and Anton Savage raised this with me a few weeks ago, you know, it is a duck, effectively, so shouldn't we be just simply calling them publishers for certain content?
Well, that's what and they are. I mean, we are the publisher of, you know, you and David Hall and Jason O'Callaghan on with us today, that if you were to say anything defamatory, we are the public, we are the publication, you know, that is obviously broadcast yeah. your comments.
Well, and you have a new defence now, Andrea, under the new 2026 Act of the live broadcast defence, but simply, if you were to say something to me, which you know, made me answer a question a certain way, which was outrageous and defamatory or in breach of something else, that could still be a problem for you. But you're right. You know, there's very little difference between, you know, I guess what you might call mainstream media and what's going on online. Musk will tell you, we are the news or you are the news, but that's not right. It just simply isn't. Yeah. There's no trust in terms of what's going on. You know, so
it's a very interesting conversation. Be interesting to hear what our government have to say in relation to this. And look, as you say, it's difficult to legislate, but is there likely to be any change? We've heard from previous experiences here in the show, I mean, the impact of this kind of footage being circulated on the families of those injured or in drowning incidents in particular, or even a fatal assault or serious assault. If you want to get in touch, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Barrister and Senior Counsel Ronan Lupton, David Hall from the Lifeline Ambulance, Jason O'Callaghan there, who's a psychologist at the D4 Clinic.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.